The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining us for another special episode of Your Welcome. Jacob, how are you, my friend?
Not bad. How about you?
Did you see Poirier and Gaethje?
Who didn't?
Well, yeah. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, man, when there's MMA on, you go watch MMA. I had a great weekend. I took in, Chandler and Gertz, roll right into the next day. I take in Gaethje, had the submission underground on Sunday. So I had a busy weekend, but I'm a fight fan. It was great for me. Back up a second, though. That fight was awesome. Do you agree?
Can I say potential fight of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Justin Gaethje's so tough. I mean, he is just so incredibly tough. Turns out, so are a lot of other guys, right? I mean, that's as simple as that. There's no knock on Gaethje here. One thing that I missed in that fight, I was down at the Roseland. So I was watching it on their televisions. Now, had I been at home, I could have solved this problem by picking up my remote control and hitting the rewind button. What I could not see is what hurt Gaethje. And I know he was hit, right? I get it. But I didn't see it, and all of a sudden he was stumbling. And when he started to stumble, because I did not see the shot to hit him, I even thought, is he slipping? Is he stumbling or is he slipping? He might be slipping. And then he stumbled again, and I thought, no, things are starting to unravel here. The reason it was a bit of a surprise for me, and I do have to admit to you, I simply didn't see it. I didn't see what got him, was as good as those shots were by Poirier, Poirier was going with the strategy of volume over power. I am going to hit you a bunch of times. And, man, when Poirier threw one, he threw five more. Gaethje took some very hard shots early in the fight. Punches get lighter as the fight goes on because fatigue sets in. So it just surprised me that Gaethje stumbled over a shot that, at least in theory, would not have been as hard as the shots he took earlier in the fight. None of that is a criticism, a critique, or even an analysis. I'm just sharing with you as a fan that was watching the fight. I go, okay, what did I miss here? What got through and stung him? Can you answer that question?
Absolutely no. Because okay. I agree with you, because you could hear some of those hits from Poirier landing, and you're like, dang, those are hitting hard. But he kept going for his head, which was what some of the commentators were saying. He's got to go for his body. Gaethje's not going to give in to a headshot
right.
at all, and it looked like that was going to happen. Then just something hit him just right. It looked like it was on his jaw or something.
Yeah. Oh, and it had to have been.
Yeah, it had to. And I was confused because I was like, oh, yeah, I totally agreed. I was thinking, this isn't going to work. This is either going to continue, which was fine, the way it was going. They're just going to slug at each other all day. Or eventually someone's going to slip accidentally, get on the ground, and someone's going to do a freak pin move. That's how I thought it was going to do. But go out. But I have no idea. I totally agree with you right there. I did not see that coming, especially because it seemed like Gaethje was starting to get the upper hand.
Yeah.
I was feeling it that way.
Yeah, Gaethje's one of these guys. I think he knows this, but I sincerely hope he knows this. He does not need to change anything. And contrary to popular opinion and a reality in most situations in life, when you're not getting the results you want, you do need to make some changes. I'm telling you, though, Gaethje is doing everything right. His punches are on point. His kicks are on point. His endurance is there. His calmness, his toughness, everything go right down the list. At 155 pounds, a lot of different things that can happen that don't happen in other weight classes. You have 10 guys who at any time can grab the title and at any time can lose, in Justin's case, two in a row. They can lose three and four in a row. It's that hard and it's that close. And when I'm watching Gaethje, I'm going, you are incredible. So is Dustin Poirier. You know, or you could back up Eddie Alvarez. Just so are these other guys. And it is so close. And you don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Things are going really good here. And he said this after the fight. I really liked Gaethje's interview because he was just so honest. And he said, I've never felt better. He offered no excuse. He said, in fact, it's quite the opposite. I've never felt better in that ring, regardless of the outcome. That was my best performance. That's always debatable, but I just appreciated the sportsmanship in that. Zero excuses. I went after him. I tried to hurt his leg, and I succeeded. I tried to hurt his face, and I succeeded. He just took him, and he hurt me right back, and they raised his hand. Next. He also said something. He said, you know, I didn't come here to be champion, and I'm quoting him. As crazy as that sounds, I didn't. I just want to be entertaining, end quote. He has succeeded. And
definitely.
I do agree with him that it also does sound a little bit crazy. I kind of prefer a guy that wants to win over to entertain me. I want to be entertained in the process, but I want a guy that wants to win. I don't know that I should be questioning a guy. I don't know that we should be, listeners, I'm including you, all of us, should be questioning a guy who's 16-2. That's a very remarkable record. I don't know that we should question a guy who's losing fights for number one contenderships in main events on network television. I mean, a very special spot, a very special performance. I just thought he did a really good job. And I have to establish that if I want to fully give Poirier the compliment he deserves. When guys go out and get wins and then you dismiss the opponent, it also takes away from the victory. That would not be fair in this case. Gaethje looked awesome, and he fought awesome. I don't love that he's gotten so far away from his wrestling. A lot of people don't even know he was a Division I All-American wrestler, fifth in the nation, scholarship athlete, really good career. A lot of people don't know that because he does not use it. Maybe I would critique that a little bit. That's where the critique would end. Now let's look at Poirier. Okay, the killer in Justin Gaethje that I just described for you lost to Poirier. That's how good Poirier looked. Poirier was then said to be right in the running for the title shot against Khabib.
That's all. Yeah, he's already said that Team Khabib has said in private conversations, you're the guy
sure.
that they want.
Yeah, that's right. That you're the guy that we think should come. And you don't get a champion to call a guy out very often. When you do get that rare kiss by the champion, I mean, we saw Cormier give that to Volkan. That doesn't happen. And when Cormier did do it, when the champion said, you're the guy, then you're the guy. It just doesn't happen much. So if Khabib's coming out and saying, you're the guy, it carries some weight. Now, we do say that understanding that Tony and Connor come first, but that Tony and Connor aren't available. So who does become the guy? I like to look at Kevin Lee Barboza coming up this weekend. For me, that might be the harder of the two fight with the two more polished fighters. That's a open debate. I don't win that just because I've said that aloud. There's definitely a conversation there. But for me, that's the fight. If there needs to be one more, it's the winner of those two. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'd like to see the loser of both of these fights go against each other. I'd love to see Gaethje versus Barboza or Gaethje versus Kevin Lee, however you want to do it. Poirier versus Kevin Lee or Poirier versus Barboza, if we are waiting, if a Tony or Connor comes back. But here's what I'm saying for you. Yeah, if you're taking Tony and Connor out, you have to look at Poirier. Absolutely. And this Kevin Lee Barboza, as much as I'm looking ahead, hasn't happened. So at least in the meanwhile, it's Poirier. Somebody's got to take that spot from him. And Poirier is such a good guy, good human, good guy. You can't say that about a lot of fighters, man. We all pretend like, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, they're not. They're a bunch of scumbags in this sport. And then you run into a Dustin Poirier, where if you ever met him, you go, God, what a cool guy. And he is. The sport has always favored the sport of fighting, conflict. It's favored the bad guys. Maybe the sport, in light of everything we're seeing right now, I'm talking about the Connor legal incident, Connor versus the bus. Maybe the sport's ready for a good guy. And that is where Dustin Poirier would fit into that equation.
One person you are forgetting in this dialogue, though, is Eddie. He's sitting right there.
Okay, I stand corrected. Yeah, I did just slide Eddie. But Eddie's always the guy. Eddie's one of those guys. He's kind of like the Connor and Tony. We know those guys are coming first. Eddie's always a good choice, man. He's like Frankie Edgar. Throw him in any Saturday night you want. Don't care. Don't tell me. Doesn't make any difference. I just can't argue to you reasonably that he's not a number one contender. So, yeah, absolutely, Eddie is in that equation. You may look at it, and I tend to find myself doing this, parity and new blood. You may give some consideration to that and say, look, Poirier has been the odd man out. He has come through everybody, including Eddie. I mean, they did get in the ring and fight. Maybe we give him a chance. Maybe. What do you think? Good argument?
I think
possible?
So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the discussion's going. Though I'm slight. The only reason I'm saying I'm a little hesitant to make a match quite yet, as far as like this must happen, is because we have Lee and Barboza coming up this weekend. I want to see what they can do.
Sure.
If someone, because right now it's all about Poirier in with Khabib. That's been the news right now. But then all of a sudden, if Barboza or Lee gets on each other, the dialogue will definitely change.
Yeah.
That's just what's going to happen.
No, I agree with you on that. And Carlos Condit, take that fight in?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know why he's upset. I really don't.
I've been a little pissed off at Carlos Condit for about a year now as a fan. You know, so he's a straight-up hammer. No way around it.
Sure.
That guy is so freaking talented. And to rewind the tape, how long ago was it? I mean, it's in my mind about a year, and that's when he took himself out of the sport. He goes, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. And I go, what are you talking about? You're incredible. Like, yeah, there's some positions with some guys. Damian Maia comes. You don't want to be in, but you're amazing. Please don't go. Please don't go. Let me plead to you. And he did, and then it kind of got shut down. I had his manager, Malky, on this show, if you'll remember, and Malky goes, Chael, you're all wrong. It's not a confidence issue. He has not lost his confidence or think he's lost a step. He is worried about CTE, and he did take a concussion or two, and so he wants to put the brakes on. Well, as soon as you bring that up, I'm done. I'm all done, you know, saying, hey, Carlos, come back, man. Reconsider this. I'm all done doing that because now you're talking about a safety issue. So then he comes back, and when he came back, say, against Magny, it was very clear to me, a guy that had been in his shoes who went away for a little bit, that first time back, no matter how many times you tell yourself, it's just going to be a little bit rough. And I thought he looked good against Magny. I thought he looked like he lost against Magny, and he did. But you bring him back again, he goes into this fight, he looked better. He had a lot of great moments. He still did not look like Carlos. Fine. But he looked better. I'm seeing the improvements. It appears in his case, he's just going to need one more shot. That's my outside analysis. Now, if he brings up safety issues or CTE again, I'm all done dancing. But if he doesn't, then I'm going to keep encouraging him because there's something special there when he fights. And a lot of times a guy physically will diminish. Okay. Other times a guy no longer has the eye of the tiger. Physically, he can still do it. But mentally, he loses that edge. He doesn't have that dog in him. When the going gets tough, how bad do I want this? And there are points in your career where I want it, and it doesn't matter. I'll go to the hospital afterwards, but we're going to figure this out right now. And there are points in your career where it's easier to relinquish and go, look, it's just not my night. That's a reality. If he has the eye of the tiger, and only he would know that, I'm assuring you, physically, he will catch up to where he was. And to remind you, he was the champion.
Well, you're saying that, it kind of... Did you see, I'm going to swing back to Gaethje on this a little bit too. Did you see he just came out recently and said, oh, just finishing on the trail of losing two fights, he says, I'm only going to do five more.
Yep.
I didn't like that because I said, hey, man, you realize who you've lost to. One would arguably say you got unlucky in those fights too. You had them and then just some lucky shot slipped in. You didn't lose those fights. You're still one of the best out there. You just had a weird night that night. And if you wanted to, if you had that day, you could easily be champion just as easily as you could be. Why are you limiting yourself to that matter? But then what you were saying is he's an entertainer, and you kind of tie into what Condit's saying. Is it the mental game? I don't see it with Gaethje. And yet, if you were mentioning Condit is getting better. The road, his peak is still out there, which is encouraging.
Yeah, there's a little bit of thought on that. And I did hear what Gaethje said, and he even said it before this fight with Poirier. He said, I have six left. So he did the Poirier fight, and he said, I have five left. couple of schools of thought there. Generally, a guy, as a fan, does not like to observe a guy who has put an expiration date on himself. However, when the guy does it, I do have to lend that Gaethje is going to put himself mentally in the best spot for himself. So perhaps that gives him a sense of urgency to do that. Perhaps it doesn't say, yeah, the finish line is coming and the sun's going to set on me. Maybe he looks at it, I've got an urgency. I'm going to do this five more times and I want to get him right. I assume that's what he's doing. I also suspect that he's going to fight a lot more than five times, but let's just operate within the confines of his statement. The other thing with Gaethje where that could be good news is perhaps that means he's saving his money, paying his taxes, and making his investments. A rare thing that you will see in this space, but that would be very nice to know a guy is thinking about his future. And the other part of it, I'd be remiss to not bring this up as much as I am doting on his performance. He fights the hard way. He takes some very big shots. His speech, I don't know him prior to fighting. His speech appears to not be fantastic. I don't know if that's because of the headshots, but I'm going to make the assumption that they're tied together. I think a young man like him, who we've seen guys come before him and fight that same way, and we've seen it not end well for their intelligence, if you will, I think that maybe five is the number. Maybe it is. And for people that do worry about Gaethje taking those headshots and dealing with a CTE, seems to be a term that's used a lot right now, a narrative, that might be a way to solve it. I mean, it might be a way to solve it to go, look, you're not going to change your style. You seem like the most stubborn son of a bitch out there. It looks like this is the style we're going to go with. High impact, return the impact, hope it works out, walk away either way, come back and do it again. It looks like that's the one you're married to for your career. So possibly the way to solve any long-term effects is to just shorten up the amount of times you're going to do it. So when he said, I have five, I realize those goalposts can be moved at any time. But when he said that, maybe that's right. Maybe that's just right. Right in that spot of how many more times he should do it. Maybe.
I see what you're saying. But I was just hoping he wasn't getting discouraged. Because I hate it when I see a fighter do that. And especially good fighters like Honda and Gaethje. I'm like, you guys, you're only kidding yourselves when you say, no, this game's moving beyond me. No. You have moved with it. In some cases, they're setting the curve. They just don't know it.
Sure.
So why are you skipping out on yourselves like this? There's plenty more opportunities for you to have your night. You've just been up against studs these last couple fights because you're a stud too.
Yep. No, that's the bottom line is what you're saying right there. And it's very rare that you're going to have guys in positions like you and I are in today to come out and criticize a guy for criticizing himself. We are the critics. We come here and we put guys down. We don't put them over, right? I mean, that's kind of what we do behind these microphones. No, I will not stand for it. I will not stand for Justin Gaethje thinking that was anything less than a great performance. I will not stand for Carlos Condit not understanding that, to use your term, he's ahead of the curb in the sport. Carlos Condit is doing stuff on his feet and on the ground, as even as he is, as skilled as he is in both areas, the guy still can't do it. I mean, I'll point something out about Carlos right now. It's his stand-ups. I don't know a guy in the sport that can get up off of the bottom and has more escapes than Carlos Condit has. I mean, it's one thing, but I'll just point to it. I do know some good punchers and kickers. I do know some good grapplers. But as far stand-ups off the bottom, boom, Carlos Condit. Go see his fight with Johnny Hendricks. You'll know what I mean. Kicking the knee out, building some space, slipping himself up, coming up against a couple-time national champion wrestler. Very special guys. I don't want them to quite be so hard on themselves. Leave that to the fans that want to punch and kick you on social media. But, yeah, man, I thought they really looked great. Michael Chandler the night before looked great. You know, he took out Gertz. Gertz is tougher than all hell. Chandler made it look kind of easy. You know, when he saw that head and arm choke, he attacked. He absolutely attacked it. And there's some kind of drama there, too. He was with Coach Neil Melanson for years, and Melanson was in Gertz's corner. And I don't know what the backstory is on that. Maybe it was just geographically, I left here, and now I'm here, and you guys got matched up. Maybe it was real simple. But I like drama, and I feel like there's something behind that. So we'll get a hold of Neil later and find out what in the hell happened there. Anyway, so that was kind of the weekend. I was able to catch up, by the way, on Homeland, Are you following Homeland?
Just a little bit, okay. Yeah.
It's amazing. I would put it up there with the best shows that are ever made. And I know I throw that term out a couple of times, but I only got a small handful. That just happens to be one of them in the best shows ever made. I've got about 10 of them banked on DVR, so I started at midnight last night, stayed up till 3 a.m. They're hour-long shows with no commercials. I watched three of them, and I was tired, but it was just that good. I don't argue to you that it's the best show made, or the best show. I'm arguing it's one of the best made shows. The cinematography, the editing, I'll tell you, the expense and the budget, I mean, it's incredible how much they put into this thing. It's a really well-made show, and Claire Danes just nails it. And she's not one of my favorite actresses, but she found a role. She found the right script and went with it. And it's something special, man. They're making special TV there.
Yeah, seriously. Intense, too. That's part of the thing I like about it. Have you been watching Roseanne lately?
Well, they've only had two episodes. And, yes, I watched – no, they've had three. I'm one behind. I've got one DVR'd.
Okay.
I got one DVR'd from last night. I forgot about that. But they had two. Did $18 million on one, did $15 million on the next. I think that number is going to keep coming down, but then it's going to stop. And, I mean, blockbuster, absolute blockbuster. I enjoy the show. That's as far as I could go with it. I don't love it. It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen or any of that. I enjoy the show. And right now, I don't have any sitcoms that are on network television. I go to, for sitcoms, I go to Silicon Valley. I love Veep. Veep's not on right now. So I'm a little limited in a 30-minute ha-ha-ha fest. And so, yeah, Roseanne's my show for now.
All right, Hooked. You want to update a little bit on Submission Underground? How did that go?
Submission Underground was great. We did the tag team. Matter of fact, a friend of mine named Byron came out because he heard about it on this show. So, boom, we sold the ticket. What do you think of that?
Nice.
Huh? All right.
We get some things done on
the
show.
I said, Byron, what are you doing here? He goes, well, I heard your podcast with Jacob. You were talking about he said, you know, you guys were talking about the tag team. I see what in the hell you were talking about. He ended up loving it, and so did I. So the tag team had a few things. I didn't really go into this in the show. I didn't fully understand it until I saw it. So they had a weight limit. I believe the weight limit was 400 pounds, okay? I have to leave it at I believe, but we'll call it 400 pounds for the story. So there's this weight limit, and that's of your team combined weight. So you could bring in a 250-pounder if you wanted. He just needed to be teamed up with a 150-pounder. One of them had to be in a gi. One of them, no gi. You had to stand in a box until you tagged and the referee declared the tag. The referee had to say tag. He had to say the word or it didn't count. The other partner then had 3 seconds to be out of the competition area and into the box. The athletes saw that as 3 seconds to double team the other guy. So imagine the craziness that ensued. There's four guys in a ring with one referee. The referee happens to be Dave Hagen. So he kept law and order. It's a respect issue, but nobody went against him. It was hilarious. It was entertaining. It was an absolute hit. The tag team was an absolute hit.
Okay, I have a couple things. So I want to jump way ahead now to 225, June 9th, I believe. The main headliner is Dos Anjos.
Junior?
Rafael?
Oh, no. You're talking RDA versus Colby.
Yeah, RDA and Colby. Yeah. And Whitaker and Romero.
Yep.
But two fights got announced on that card near the bottom end. I don't know if they're going to stay that way that long, but Holly Holm got signed up with Megan Anderson. That's official. And CM Punk is slated to fight Mike Jackson.
What do you know about this Jackson?
You know, the only thing I've seen of Mike Jackson is I don't think he likes that he signed up with Punk.
Is this Jackson's debut or did he have a fight?
You know, I'm not sure. I can look that up real quick.
Well, look it up real fast if you don't mind. I think he's 0-1. I think he had a fight and he lost. I don't know what to make of that. I've always liked the CM Punk story. And I've always thought that the story was mistold. It was always kind of a perception that you were getting a big-name guy coming over who is going to suck all the air out of the room just because he's a big-name guy and doesn't deserve it. I'm seeing the same thing happen to Ronda going over to WWE. And there is some truth to it. But in CM Punk's case, he was willing to put it on the line. I mean, he stepped away from wrestling. I know he had his contract dispute with Vince, and maybe it wasn't all his choice. Maybe it was. Maybe we'll never get that whole story. I don't know if it makes any difference. He committed fully and immersed himself to this goal in the sport of MMA. I thought that was a pretty cool and brave thing to do. He went out there way over his head and tried. And when it didn't go his way, he said, I want to try again. He didn't go back to the fake wrestling. He didn't go do any of that stuff. He could have. He said, I want to try that again. Continued to immerse himself, continued to sacrifice. And now he's going to take his shirt off in his hometown and walk out there again. You make your own decision on that, but that is the story. It's not the other way around that this big star came over and he's leaving with all the money and all the attention and all the filling up the main card and taking spots and opportunities away from other people. It's not that. He's given an opportunity. There was an opportunity given to Mickey Gall and now to Jackson. I mean, there is an opportunity when you can be across the ring from a guy who's going to bring attention in. So bury Punk all you want. Just make sure that you do it with that information. And that you do it correctly. If you want to pick on him for it, you go right ahead. But that's what's happening.
I think the big thing right here is, well, Mike was saying that it kind of felt like it was a little bit of an extra incentive to win because he actually dropped the words, UFC doesn't want Punk to win. Which I think we've mentioned before, if CM wins and he's like, I'm done, that does create some problems for people who actually want a long-term career in the UFC. They want to be fighters for a long time, whereas Punk is doing this as kind of what you said, a dream, an American dream, if you will.
Yeah, bucket list is what I was calling it.
Or bucket list. There you go. So if Jackson loses, that's bad for him. But I don't know if he's grateful for that yet, because it's like he's cornered. Like he might feel a little disrespected because he's given a big name and not a real fighter, if you will. But then if he loses, it's kind of just a toss away for him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any loser in this situation. In my own opinion, I don't have to walk out there. I just don't think there's a loser in this situation. I think the fans get a little something. I think CM Punk is maybe matched up a little bit more appropriately. That was a dark horse. Nobody knew what to do. Everybody was vouching for him, and they were largely vouching for him because he was famous and they wanted, you know, say nice things about a cool guy. I think that built an allure that harmed him in the matchmaking. So now we've seen it. We've got some footage. Got him an opponent they think is appropriate. Doesn't mean they think he's going to win. Doesn't mean he's going to think he's lose. It means they think they got him an appropriate opponent, then those guys can go figure it out. I don't really know that I have an opinion on who I think is going to win the fight, but I am glad it's happening, and I don't think it screws up any rankings, any divisions. Is it a little spoofy? Is it a little gimmicky? Yeah, it's all of those things. Every now and then, Dana will go do something like that. Every now and then, he'll do a James Toney. Every now and then, he'll bring a CM Punk. But every now and then, you know, Lesnar was a little bit gimmicky, too. It just happened to work and took him all the way to a world championship. So you don't always know. You know, if you've got the right guy and he's willing to put in the work, he can get a mandate from the masses that say we're willing to buy a ticket, and you give him a shot. You got to spread those time periods out. But we're in one right now. I'm all for it. That was a big deal.
It makes the card even better. But let's move over to Holly Holm with Megan Anderson. What do you think of that fight?
I think that's likely a mismatch. But
in Anderson's disfavor?
Yes.
Holm's favor?
Yeah. Holm is as good of a competitor as the sport has, period. She is going to walk out there and bring all of her skills with her every single time. She's not going to leave them in the back. She's not going to have a bad night. She's not going to choke. Those things just aren't going to happen. A ton of respect for Holly Holm. And I got no problem with Megan Anderson. None at all. I think that she's very, very good. I just think that she will probably need to, you know, grab a hold of her quickly and drag her down. And if she can go out there and beat her, she can really explode her name out there. And I think that that's a pretty cool chance. I mean, that, you know, as fighters, you do that. There are times, I think when I say to you, oh, I think Megan's in a little overhead, it almost sounds dismissive of Megan. No, it's not that at all. On every card, you're going to see multiple fights that are like that, where when you look at them on paper, which is all you have before they fight, all you have is the paper, one person's resume is a little more impressive than the others. Megan could use that as a motivation. Yeah, I get it, but this is pretty cool. This is my first chance to be in there with a former world champion. Let's go do it. It's as simple as that. She knows what she's up against. She's going to walk out. She's taking on a great competitor. Now go see if your skills can outdo hers.
You know, the thing that I've been wondering about Holly Holm lately is that really her biggest competitor who is in front of her, which is convenient for story's sake, is Cyborg, which we've seen once already, and she lost. You've mentioned before that the competition after Cyborg and Holly is a huge gap, and then there's the number three fighter. I would like to see a Holm-Cyborg fight again, especially after Holm racks up a couple wins after that, but if she can't get over Cyborg, tell me what you think of this. Should Holm switch weight divisions?
Well, she certainly could. She could do that right now, and I'll remind you she was the champion of 135. She fought for the belt at 135, and ultimately to be the number one contender at 145 with Cyborg there is the first girl to raise her hand and say, I'll do that. Boom, you just got the job. You're the only applicant. That's the reality, and Holly was tough enough and courageous enough to do that. And other girls have too, but that is who becomes the number one contender there. I mean, we watched the Iron Lady walk away from the sport to not have to get in there with Cyborg. So, yeah, I've got no problem with her changing weights. I think 135 is her weight. I think she's a 35-pounder fighting at 45. I think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a pretty cool story. But I agree with you. It's really her and Cyborg, and how many times can you do that same dance? Which brings us all back to the same conclusion of Amanda versus Cyborg. And now I want to choose my words. It's very disrespectful to Raquel Pennington, what I just said. It's not meant to be. This is not about Amanda's belt. It's about Cyborg's belt. And the person to take Cyborg's belt, if anybody, is Amanda. That is a match that, for me, for the women's division, is compelling and interesting. And I hope that we get it. So, that's where I'm at with those fights.
Say Pennington gets over on Amanda.
You got a problem. Yeah, I think Pennington just stays
where... That's a great problem.
I think you probably still get Cyborg. I think Pennington just runs with the 135-pound title, and then Amanda can bump right up and make that her new home, 145, should she succeed. And maybe not. Maybe if it's a good enough fight, we forget about Cyborg, and we just want to see Pennington and, Amanda get... You just never know what's going to happen until it's happened. That's why you got to go do these fights. You just can't plan that far ahead. I can just tell you, me as a fan, we were promised and told we were going to get Cyborg and Amanda. I popped for it. It then didn't happen. I'd like it to come back around. You would agree with me, right? That's a fun match.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Sure. Why the hell wouldn't we want to see that?
Exactly. It's kind of weird me saying, though, I'm not really... I almost felt like I was saying I would get tired of watching Holm and Cyborg fight. If the same thing happens over and over again, yes, I would. So... But some of these guys we've seen fight three times. I mean, Cormier was already saying just recently he wants a John Jones 3. And
right.
I was like, really?
It sells. It'll draw.
It definitely does. But I was like, really? Interesting. And people were begging for the Misha and Ronda fight for the third time, even though we'd seen that several times.
I'll tell you this. We sit around and we complain about who the number one contender should be. We're doing it at 55 right now. We just did it. Is it Poirier? Is it the winner of Lee Barboza? Is it Eddie? How does Tony fit in? What's Conor going to do? We sit around and we complain about these things, but Jacob, it's the best problem you can have. And there's some divisions that don't have that problem. I'll give you a fine example. Who do you want to see Rose fight if you could pick anybody for? I'll answer the question for you. Joanna.
Exactly.
Who do you want to see Joanna fight if you could pick anybody? Rose.
Rose.
We've seen the fight twice. Unless there's controversy or you split it 1-1, you don't go to the rubber match. Because there is nobody else that can draw in that division against either one of them for right now. And because nobody in that division has been smart enough to insert themselves into that seat because they all want to be liked and nobody wants to ruffle feathers, even though we're in the ass-whipping contest game, you're still left with those two. But if you're the promoter and you realize that, even if that's not a great draw, that's my best draw. But I can't do it. I just can't. There wasn't enough controversy around it. It was a pretty straightforward fight. The second one, the first one was a starching. How do you possibly come back and say to do it unless you just put your chips on the table, unless you don't swerve at all and you just say, look, they're the only two girls that can sell any damn tickets here. I can't main event them. They're not that big of a draw. I can co-main event. There's something there. You've seen it before. I've got the packages. I got the B-roll. They both agree to the dollar figures. I'm going to sign it again. I guess that's not that compelling of a story, but I would much rather you told me that than go and create some kind of a controversy that doesn't exist. You know, we just see that at 135. We just see these misses. We just see these people that get signed for a fight, and they're going to follow that old school mentality of I go out there, I hang my head, and I run out when it's done, I shower up, and I get ready for the next one because I'm a fighter, by God. As opposed to I'm an entertainer that needs to fight and win to be given microphones and opportunities to continue to entertain in the future, but I'm an entertainer. And I will just see these, you know, I guess right now, we'll talk about Rose. We'll talk about the Rose and Joanna situation. Why a fellow competitor at that weight class wasn't able to foresee there is nobody else in this weight class who has a name. There is no name being asserted into these conversations. When I watched the press conference about the 115-pound division, every question to do with it has to do with Rose and Joanna. I should see that as a competitor that has an upcoming fight on television that will be concluded with a microphone, to make sure I am that name. And most people really have the deck stacked against them. There's five names, and they're all good ones. How do I stand out? When you're at 115 pounds in the women's division, which we're speaking of right now, and there is zero names, you now have no competition. You win the seat by showing up. You ever heard the expression, you must be present to win? You ever heard the expression 90% of success is just showing up? They're watching these press conferences, and not one of them has a pad and a pen out like you should, taking notes on a press conference, taking tallies for how many times was Joanna asked a question? How many times was Rose asked a question? How many times was Dana White asked a question about Rose? And how many times was he asked it about Joanna? And who was the next person in line? Fighters don't think like this. They don't see what's next. They don't take the temperature and judge the landscape of their divisions. Fighters will often dismiss a press conference. They will sit at a press conference and say, well, they could say whatever they want, but we have to fight. That guy's called a dum-dum. You're not going to fight up there. It's why you're wearing the suit or the dress. It's why you're seated at a table, not in a chain-link fence, with a referee in between, asking you if you're ready, with your corner man standing over your shoulder, with a banner that you're hoping to collect $500 on the back end. Press conferences matter. Conversations matter. You and I have 500,000 viewers that tune into this show twice a week, and we've never thrown a punch at one another. Words matter. And if you're going to watch one of these press conferences, it gets me fired up. It gets me fired up when people can be in the business and not understand the business, Jacob. I got to collect myself right now, but it gets me fired up because I don't understand it. You're at a press conference. Two girls are sitting up there who have already fought. They're going to fight again. Should Rose lose, they're going to fight a third time. Position yourself anyway. Should Rose win, they're not. And the person who's going to be fighting for the championship is whoever can put their name in the conversation. And if you are so arrogant to yourself or to the weight class, and there's a lot of arrogance out there where you think we've known what you've done. Well, I'm on a 3-fight win streak. Well, I don't know about it, so you're not. Well, yes, I am. Go to SureDog. Check out my record. No. Doesn't work that way. Not going to do that. Not going to do research. Perception's reality. Perception is I don't know who you are. But I'm watching this press conference. There's cameras here, and there's a whole bunch of microphones. So this is your chance to let me know who you are. Don't get into battle of wits with me and tell me, well, that's my fault. You did your part. It's my fault. I don't know. I don't care whose fault it is. I'm telling you the bottom line results. I don't know who you are. I could not name another girl in that weight class. I follow the sport, and I have never missed a show since Matt Hughes versus Carlos Newton. I don't know another girl in the weight class. I refuse to accept responsibility. That's my fault, as opposed to theirs. So do something and get yourself known and check the landscape of your division. There's sometimes not to strike. Don't strike just for the sake of it. There's five guys in front of you, and one of them's named Conor McGregor. Pick your battles. Wait for the right time. Don't make yourself look like a fool. When there's Joanna and Rose, and not a person on God's earth could name another person in that weight class, just make sure it's you. Just make sure that it's you. I watched Henry Cejudo go through this to the point that it has affected our relationship. He has since unfollowed me on Twitter of his way of letting me know he's listened to me on the show and he doesn't like what I had to say about him. Henry could not be more mismanaging his career, and he is so locked on wrapping himself in the American flag and that gold medal when he was a 20-year-old boy in 2008 that he has not yet seen this is the fight game. We're not looking for nice guys, Henry. You're a pretty nice guy. You're not what you appear to be on camera, where you're all smiles and just this little boy from 2008 that reached his gold medal dream. You're not. I'm okay with it either way, but if you want to make an omelet in this business, you're going to have to crack some eggs. You were in those positions and you missed them because you were so married to being liked. There's never been a nice, likable, monetizable, marketable champion. It hasn't happened. I will tell you the nicest, most likable, handsome, young, public servant champion ever is Stipe Miocic. The guy's great, and the guy can't draw to the point that they've had to go to somebody in a different weight class to try to get him over. Stipe's done everything right. Not insulting him in the least. I am using him because it is a name that you will recognize that's current and present, that does everything right, but the nice guy doesn't draw. So you can be Henry Cejudo and be unmad and push that little button on Twitter against Chael all you want. Chael's still right, Henry. And for the rest of the Henrys out there, if you're not willing to come in and understand this is a fight, this is the bottom rung of society, the thing nobody wants to fully mention, and behind those fancy suits and the nice smiles sits a dirty, rotten cage fighter just like me. And as much as they want to sit up there and pretend that they are something else, there is nobody at home coming to a cage fight and buying a beer before they sit in their seat that wants to see the nice guy with the smile on his face wrapped in the American flag because he won a gold medal in 2008. And if it hurts your feelings, I can't apologize. I didn't make these rules. I've just observed them and come on this show to give you the book report because apparently you didn't have time to read it.
You know what would be a good refight, though? Gaethje and Poirier. We're already
God
talking about that.
What kind of comment on the back end of the lessons I just gave for everybody was that?
There was a tie. There is a tie. You were complaining that there is a problem in certain weight classes where the biggest solution is for someone to step forward. And then there's the new name. We have that. Okay, do you want to try to solve this problem right now?
I want to figure out what in the hell you're talking about. I mean, yeah, you want to give me Poirier and Gaethje again, I'll go ahead and watch that.
Should we do
Darren Till and Michael Bisping on that same card?
Let's see who is fighting at
and
115.
And do a battle royal in the process. We'll just bring all your ideas together at once, and we'll just get it out of the way. What do you think of that?
Should we call out the next 115 winner for this next coming fight?
I've got the foggiest idea who it is.
Let's pick one.
All right, go ahead. Is there a 15-pounders fighting on it?
I'm going to find out.
Oh, all right. Well, if they're not, then you've got nothing.
To serve your point that we don't know. That's why we're making
one right
now.
Well, you're doing that. Tell me, answer one question, then go do your little research on your little think box over there known as a computer. Did you do your DDP this morning? Tell me the truth. God, tell me the truth. No, say it out loud. Don't just shake your head to me. I can see. You tell the audience the truth.
No.
Yeah, there you go. No, you did not. Well, I did, and a lot of people are doing it with me. All I've wanted from anybody, go to ddpyoga.com, sign up. He'll give you 20% off for doing it, okay? And then come to social media, tell me how you're doing. Create a little support system here. That's all I've asked. We've got a lot of people doing it. Except you, Jacob, except you being the week. Now, are you doing the program? You just don't do it prior to the show. We record this fairly early. You just aren't doing it for the show?
You know, I did it yesterday last night.
All right, so you're doing it. You're not just out completely. You're just not doing it. All right.
I skip some days.
I think you've told me that before, but all right, you're doing it. Hey, I do want to tell people this about DDP, though. He's headed back across the pond. He's going to the UK. He's put on another DDPY, Inspiration Meets Perspiration Workshop. It's one night only. It's going to be this Thursday, as in tomorrow, April 19th. It's going to be at Frome Sport and Fitness in Somerset, England. Head on over there. Check out the incredible three-hour workshop. Meet DDP. Walk right up to him. You're going to get a kick-ass workout. You're going to hear some DDP secrets on staying motivated, which for me is the key. Go talk to DDP. Ask him the questions that you have. You can get your workshop tickets at ddpyogaworkshops.com. And if you can't make that one, he's going to be at the Comic Con, the Wales Comic Con. That's going to be April 21st and 22nd. You can go get information for all those dates at WalesComicCon.com. That's DDP's ad, or that's his advertisement for what he's doing over in England. But what I do ask, if you go to DDPYoga.com and you sign up, enjoy your 20%. In exchange for that, just go to social media, keep me apprised of where you're at. Throw Chael a little encouragement. I'll do the same back to you.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I have the name.
What do you got?
It's a fight night, May 19th. Alexa Grasso, if that's her name, and Tatiana Suarez, winner of that. Make a call out. The division's lacking. Needs a number one contender.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I mean, but why do we got to wait?
Well, that's just the next fight.
Why do we
fight?
Have to wait?
That's
why,
just the next fight.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I don't mean that. What I mean is, why do we have to wait for that fight to be done for them to make the call out? Why are they not positioning themselves? Why are they not seeing an opportunity and getting their name out there? Look, this isn't just school by Chael here, okay? This isn't just my thoughts that I'm pushing them on people. Every single idea and suggestion I give to you, if you challenge me on, I will show you a historical time when that theory has paid off. And people just aren't paying attention. We just discussed it on this show. Right now, in 2018, to become the number one contender for Cyborg's belt, all you have to do is call out Cyborg. That's it. Now, if I was to tell you there was a time in sports when you could have a world championship opportunity and all you had to do is say, I'd like that. You go, well, when was that? What kind of unformed developing sport are you possibly referring to? What book did you get this information from? I'd love to check the author's sources. That had to be the 1940s. That must have been the 1800s. No, right here, 2018. Mixed martial arts, UFC. If you'd like to fight for a world championship and you'd like to do it against Chris Cyborg, just raise your hand and tell people, I'll do it. We are to the point right now where they are going to people. Forget resumes be damned. And do you want to do it? And they're having to call multiple people. Amanda Nunes just said, I'd like to do that. Boom, done. Done. I'm Dana White. I hate taking people out of their divisions. Yeah, I'll do that. Hey, I'm Dana White. You got a fight coming up. Forget, I'll scratch it. You want that? Boom, I'll get whatever it takes. If you want to fight for a world title, and it's in Cyborg's division right now in 2018, all you have to do is say, I want that fight. It will be your fight. That's it. The Iron Lady left the sport to not have to do it. Holly Holm moved up to the division because she was willing to do it. They brought over that girl from Invicta because she was willing to do it. They want to give it to Amanda because she was willing to do it. That's where we're at right now. So this isn't just me talking. You can just look. This is where the landscape for that division's at. That is a remarkably exciting opportunity. I never had that in my career. I would love to have it. I wouldn't have missed it if I saw it. I just didn't have it. I had other guys we're competing with. Sometimes you could do it in a war of words. Sometimes you had to. Sometimes I'd beaten the top guy, but another guy beat some top guys too. So who's going to get the shot? I don't have a fight scheduled, but neither is he, and one of us next contract is going to be for that shot. So all I've got is a microphone and some cameras. That's how we're going to figure this out then. If that's the rules, then let's go. Somebody tell me when that red light is blinking. That's the spot that you're usually in. These girls are in a different one. They're in a different one, and I would argue to you they are at 115 pounds too. And if they've got the Henry Cejudo complex, that they want to come out and they're dead set on this vision, and they're not able to see that eventually you're not going to be in this sport anymore. And in this sport, you need to grab a hold. That flag that you're wrapping around your shoulders from 2008, Henry, lay it on the ground. Fill it up with money. Bring the quarters in like a knapsack. Throw it over your shoulder and figure out the rest later because those days are limited. This isn't a commentary on Henry. He's just a fine example of a handsome, talented, opportunity-given young man who did everything wrong when it came to marketing his career. Everything. And whatever vision he went for, I know what it was. It was just this nice guy, little boy that went out and made. That was 2008. He's not a little boy anymore. Now he's a grown-ass man. And he's not some nice guy out there in a wrestling singlet. He's a dirty, rotten cage fighter just like the rest of them. He just won't embrace it. He just won't accept it. And whatever that is fine. But when this story ends, and it's going to be a hell of a lot sooner than you think, you're not going to have anything to show for it except missed opportunity. And you can block the biggest advice giver in the entire business that's got the whole thing figured out and sits in this studio twice a week and passes it to the rest of you for free. Or you can listen to something you don't want to hear and change your career.
Can you name a single fight? And I do have a thought of this. Can you name a single fight where immediately when you're done, soon as you had the microphone in your face, or even, let's give you a little grace period, you get maybe a week afterwards where you didn't have a new fighter in your sights? Can you name a single fight?
Never.
Never. You always called out someone.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone. Do you remember, I'll just throw this out, do you remember Holly, Cyborg, Rose, or Joanna calling out anybody else?
No.
After their fights? Nope.
No.
Okay. Point settled.
Yeah, and I wouldn't fault, I mean, you could go through and do that with a lot of them, and I wouldn't fault them for it, and it's not as though that's just the big grand thing and the cherry on top of the sundae that's going to solve all of your problems, but boy, it sure is a big one. You know, if you want to help steer your own career and you want the rest of us to be interested in it, you got to tell me. I mean, Jacob, I'll just tell you this. If you tell me I don't care who I fight next, and that's your attitude, I know what your message is. Your message is, I am so brave and bold, it can be anybody. I don't care who it is. I know that that's your message. I know that's your tough guy fake message before you and your manager hide behind your phone and your computers and turn down your next three fights because you're actually a chicken. You just don't want to look like one on TV. I get what you're doing there. But it's not what you said. What you said was is you don't care. If you don't care, there's no way I can. As a fan, if you don't care who you fight, then I can't care who you fight. And that's the bigger problem there. You go look at Ben Askren, okay? Ben Askren studies these kinds of things. Ben Askren executes these kinds of things. Ben Askren has never not been a main event that I can remember. Certainly somewhere in his career he wasn't. And certainly somewhere in his career he climbed the ladder and had to do co-main event fights. Certainly. I've never missed one of his fights. I got a pretty good memory. I can't remember him not being a main event. I realize I am forgetting, but you get my point here. He follows the script. He knows what he's doing. He knows when it's time to train. He knows when it's time to make weight. He knows when it's time to fight. And he knows when it's time to play a hand in steering his own career. He headlines shows, and he sells out arenas. Some guys won't sit back, and they'll study him. They'll sit back and want to know, how did he do that takedown? And why is he keeping all these guys down? And how come he's so hard to hit? Those are great things to study. But at the end of his fight, keep the tape rolling and see what he does next. And figure out, why is that son of a bitch always the main event? Figure out what his secret is, because he's got some.
Everyone take a tip from Kevin Lee. Same idea. He says he doesn't care who he fights, but then he follows it up and says, you mentioned this last week, I want to fight everybody.
Right.
And drops every name every day. Yeah. Every single day.
Every time. Oh, I don't care who I fight. And then he goes on a rap.
About this guy.
Eight guys get destroyed. Four of them are in tears, and one of them's headed across the stage to punch him right there on the spot. Yeah. While he's making believe that he doesn't care. Right. No, he's got it figured out. And it's okay. You can do anything you want. Kevin Lee has got to compete with Barboza, Eddie, Poirier, Ferg, Connor, and still might come out on top of this thing. He might, but he's got a long list of guys. Whoever in the hell's at 115 sitting behind Joanna and Rose just has to step forward.
Hop on Twitter right now.
Whoever in the hell at 145, and apparently that's a hard thing to do, and I don't like to call the women chicken, so I don't. I just don't. I kind of sit back and enjoy the division, but I don't try to critique it because I feel like there's a weird push and pull, me being a male and them being female, and I just, right there, I feel like there's inequity here, and so I try to stay away from it, but I will go to the men. A lot of them just are chickens. They just don't want to do it. I don't love to say that about the women, but Jacob, it sure appears like maybe it's the fitting title. The fact that they say, I want to do this and I want to do that, and they're signed up and registered and won't raise their hand and get in there with Cyborg, it is a chance for a world title. If you're not here for that, what are you here for? I don't know. I can answer it for the guys because I am one. I can just relate a little bit better. I don't know what's going on there with the females. I've never seen a better opportunity. You know, we're talking about Ben Askren a second ago. Ben Askren's going around the world grabbing any microphone he can, calling out George St. Pierre. That's the fight that he wants. And he's telling everybody, and he will do anything to get it. Any amount of media, any amount of fights, anybody in any organization, on any continent, in anybody's ring, under any rule set you want to do to get me closer to my goal. And he's got politics and bureaucracy in his way. Hard spot he's in, and he's fighting through it. Could you imagine what it must be like to carry that water that a Ben Askren is carrying and to turn your head to the left and see there's a division sitting right there where you can have every single thing he wants, every single thing he's after, and all you got to do is this, stick your hand in the air. That's all you have to do. And you are guaranteed 100% lock, stock, and barrel to get it. You are guaranteed by default to be the other person in a Cyborg fight. And take Cyborg out of it. Take her out of it. It's a world championship fight. It's going to be, at worst, a co-main event. In a world championship fight. In a sport that you said you wanted to be a world champion in. It is the rarest of opportunities. There is not a football team in the history of Earth that could just raise their hand and say, I want to play for the Super Bowl. There's not an NBA team that's ever been able to raise their hand and say, stick us in the playoffs. There's not an NHL team. There is an opportunity right now because of the architecture of mixed martial arts to raise your hand and do it. And they either are too scared, too intimidated, or too dumb. Those aren't great options, but they are the only ones on the table. The same thing is happening at 115. They are too intimidated or too unreceptive to the way the business works. And apparently their managers are too. Apparently their managers haven't grabbed them and said, you weigh 115. Nobody else is known in the division. Well, sure, Lucy over here has won 10 in a row. Nah, she didn't, though. Well, yeah, she did. She didn't. If the people don't know she, then she didn't. It's perception. And apparently they don't know to grab them and say, you're the new face. That's it. That's it. Why am I the face? Because nobody else said they are. Always remember this example. Muhammad, who's the greatest boxer of all time?
Muhammad Ali.
You're goddamn right he is. And do you want to know why?
Because he called the shots.
Because he said he was.
I'm the greatest.
And this is the most important. Don't forget this part. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time and will always be referred to as the greatest of all time because he was the first to say it. Okay? It's not just that he said it. He was the first to say it. And it's like Marshall Mathers once said, they can walk like me, talk like me, dress, act, not give a dang like me, and they just might be the next best thing, but they are not quite me. You will never beat a guy to first who already went there. You just can't. It's the one record you can never beat. Everything gets beat. Well, I got five championships. Well, a guy finally came along and grabbed six. The one championship, the one title that can never go away is first. Well, he was the first guy to do a four-minute mile. God be damned for the guys that could destroy that record. He was first. Muhammad Ali will go down because it's just perception. We'll never know how he'd do with Mike Tyson. We will never know if they were the same weight. How would it be done with Floyd Mayweather? We'll never know. Perception is he was number one. Marketing got him there. He said he was the best ever, the greatest. And he said it first. That's the message here. Be the first to say you want Cyborg. Because you haven't done that, maybe we got to put the chicken label on you then, right? Maybe it isn't a lack of intelligence. Maybe it just is I'm scared and don't want to do it. I don't think people are as scared of Rose. Rose is a very sweet and nice girl. You sat right here with her for an hour. Would you disagree with that?
No.
She's very, very nice gal.
That's part of the show, though. That's right. The fun part about it.
So,
she gets it.
If you're not scared of Rose, and I don't think she is Miss Intimidating. I don't think those girls are scared of her. If you're not scared of her, but you haven't inserted yourself in that, and we've fully acknowledged intellectually that you've only got two options. You got the either I'm intimidated or I'm not smart enough to know how this works. It's what you're left with. Apparently, you don't know how this works. So if some 115-pounder would like to be fighting Rose next, come out and say it. And Jacob and I will get behind it. And then the next guys will. And Joe Rogan, who listens to this show, will go repeat it on his. And that's how it works. It will get passed down from one to the next, and you'll become the number one contender. And you won't have to throw a punch. And you can thank me later. I didn't create these rules. I just paid attention to them. That is the landscape. I have had, you know what? I'm actually really irritated, Jacob. I'm actually really irritated, and I don't have the right to be. Today is my wife's birthday. I've got something special planned. Thank you for that. I will pass that message to her. I have something special planned. I want to go and have a nice day. For whatever reason, and I guess I'm left to carry this burden with me. My cross to bury, but it pisses me off when somebody's in the business and doesn't understand the business. And I do not hold fighters to a very high level of intellect. I just don't. And I happen to respect and really like Henry Cejudo, for the record. But it is called the Henry Cejudo complex, where you can't get over your own goddamn way. When you think people are, I want people to think I'm a nice guy. Henry, nobody knows who you are. I'm a wrestling fan, so I happen to know. I happen to really admire what you did. Nobody knows who you are. So who these three people are that think you're a really nice young man, do you really want to squander your entire goddamn career away to appease them? You don't have any fans. So whoever it is that you're trying to impress with this, boy, that Henry sure was a nice kid. Go ahead and do it. But when all is said and done and you're struggling to make your car payment, because you sustained an injury and now you're no longer in this business, it doesn't come with a retirement plan, I don't want to hear about it. And if that's the trade you're trying to make, I'll back off of you right now. If you come to the table right now and you tell me I do not care about my future, I am not in this for the money. I have three people who know who in the hell I am. They all think I'm a really sweet and nice guy. I just don't want to let them down. And whatever comes after that, be damned, I'm okay with it. All right, cool. We're done here. Fair enough. But if you do come from the spot that I know you come from, which is you think you have a monetizable gimmick that just hasn't caught on yet, you're wrong. And it's irritating. And you can choose to shut me out, or you can be like the rest of the fighters that tune in, and I will hand you the answer. I will hand you the cliff notes. I don't deserve to be pissed off right now, Jacob. I don't. I haven't done anything wrong. It's my wife's birthday. I'm going to go have a great day. But when you get me on this topic and I have to sit around and watch these fighters, and I'm jealous. I can't raise my goddamn hand and go in there and fight for world championship.
You've got a Grand Prix ahead
of you.
You
know what I had to do to fight for world championships?
You've got three guys in front of you.
You know how much money I lost? I'm telling you, at the time that I did it, this was before the sport exploded. Do you know the losses that I took? You know the things I had to sacrifice? I don't mean to make it about me. I'm trying to make it about them. I'm just trying to personalize it for you. That I know what it's like and I know how hard it is. And I'm watching my friend Ben Askren, who can't get a goddamn opportunity, and he's never lost a fight. And he's got bureaucracy holding him back and red tape. And he would do anything for it. He would walk through fire for it. And you have people in this sport that all they have to do is raise their goddamn hand. And they're too dumb or they're too chicken to do it. And either one of them should disqualify him. If you don't have the guts to do it, then get out of the business. And if you don't have the smarts to do it, get out of the business. And if you hired a manager who hasn't told you the things that I just told you right now, and you're at 145 pounds or you're 115 pounds, get them out of your business. Quit writing them their checks because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Listen to me each week and save the money because I don't need it.
But I will tell you how to save a few bucks. See, I get all worked up, and I don't deserve to be worked up. I deserve to go off and have a nice day, but it's very upsetting to me.
I'm glad you're doing it now. You need to get it out.
I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to feel this way. I don't. They need to raise their hands or get the hell out of the way for somebody that actually wants to do it. I deserve to have a nice day. I'm going to get back on track here. And I'm going to tell all of our listeners how to buy their next car. And it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you. Now, see, I'm yelling about TrueCar.
I'm sure they love
it. I've got to calm down. Give me a second. Do you have something you can say? You got a story?
You know what? Have you ever been to Salt and Straw? Just up the road? It's a
how
good
is
place.
That?
It's an ice cream shop.
Yeah. Do they sell burgers there or just?
Just ice cream.
It's just ice cream.
Just ice cream.
All right.
You can stop by there.
No, I won't do it. I eat gangster food.
Okay.
I eat steaks and things like that, like a man.
Okay.
But
fair enough.
Yeah. Do you put sprinkles on your cone? Do you?
No.
Do you bite the bottom off and then suck the ice cream through the bottom like when you're a little kid?
Only if it's a hot and sunny day.
What kind of cone do you do? Do you do the sugar cone?
Waffle cones.
Waffle cone, not a sugar cone.
No.
You know what I like about the sugar cone? Do you do what I'm talking about where you bite the bottom and then you suck it out like it's...
Mm-hmm.
They started putting chocolate at the bottom because they found out people were doing it. Yes. That guy should work for NASA. Whoever thought to put chocolate at the bottom of a sugar cone is a goddamn genius. That's the guy that should be trying to send us to Mars. That's the most brilliant guy in America right there. It's not Elon Musk. Waffle cone.
Yeah.
I feel like that's too much cone for your ice cream. What are you doing, a three scooper or something?
Usually two, at least.
You're a very interesting guy. You're a very interesting guy. All right, let's get back to the car. Doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to use. Guys, when you're looking for a car, use TrueCar. www.truecar.com or go and get the app. Here's how it works. Virtually, from the comforts of wherever you are, go and build a car. Year, make, model, color, whatever you want to do to that car. Type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. Guess what? That becomes your price. So now you don't have to do your own research. The days of Blue Book are gone. You will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. You will work everything out. Your obligation, what you're going to pay. Their obligation, making sure that exact car is on the lot when you show up. Save time, save money, never overpay. Final thoughts?
Nope.
Didn't mean it. Glad you had nothing. My wife's birthday, and I have got to fix my attitude before I go home to her. So for Jacob, I am Chael Sonnen, and until Friday, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Good news. For the first time ever, the Adam Carolla Show is in virtual reality. Live Saturday, April 21st. Just a one-time $4.99 subscription. And you can see it on your phone or your computer in virtual 360 reality. You don't need glasses, only a web-enabled device. Experience a live show from the comfort of your own internet. It's not going to air as a regular show, so you can only see it in person Saturday, April 21st, or buy the VR download and watch on your favorite device. Get it at podcastone.com/CorollaVR. podcastone.com/Corolla VR.